What is up, guys? This is Wesley McNair here from The Living Perspective, and I'm with Dustin DeMoss today. We haven't come up with a title for our podcast yet, but we're working on it. So here today with Dustin, we're going to be talking about a few different events that have happened throughout history, including 9/11 and other false flag events. We're really going to try and drill down on the subject of false flags. Why do they happen? Who's behind them? And what is the ultimate goal of these of the people who are in power right now? So, Dustin, if you want to kick us off, tell us, what is your personal experience in this subject here? What do you think the false flags are for? Is it all about money? Is it about to start wars? Is it about profit? Is there something going on behind the scenes? What do you think?
Well, as everybody knows, in the previous podcast, I was on the JASTA thing, where it was funded by the Saudi Arabians. But here's my take on the whole false flag thing. Basically, this is a means to get power and prestige and wealth. For instance, you look at Rockefellers and you look at the Rothschilds and how they were able to gain control with Britain in the 1700s or 1800s. They basically said, Hey, you lost the war with France, and then their stock market plummeted, Britain's stock market plummeted, and then they bought up everything. So these type of things are ways to gain more power into a system.
So that absolutely makes perfect sense. That's exactly what they're doing, I think. What are some of the let's talk about some of the strange events surrounding 9/11, some of the strange things that kind of just don't make sense surrounding 9/11, such as like the Pentagon, Building 7. So tell us again about you mentioned something earlier about Building 7.
Oh, yeah. Building 7, for instance, there's video on YouTube where this broadcaster is talking about Building 7 has fallen and everything. Well, if she had looked behind her, the Building 7 was still standing. So how did they know that Building 7 was going to fall? Another thing is I was, of course, in the Air Force and worked with the aircraft fuel systems of the F-117. And there was only one time me and my supervisors and everybody talked about this. And these people had worked for 20 years with aircraft fuel. These were master sergeants, tech sergeants, and they were because we had security clearances and that type of stuff. This was a really rare occasion to talk about it, and they said they basically just were in bewilderment how jet fuel could ignite so much. To melt the steel in the buildings.
Exactly.
And another thing you'll notice with that is once you go researching that, there's a lot of disinformation. There's people, I've tried to bring this out in the past on Facebook and that kind of stuff, and people say, oh, you're just an idiot, you're an idiot, blah, blah, blah. And then they'll post these things that say, these YouTube videos that say that aircraft fuel can melt steel. Well, those things are all bullshit. Because these were master sergeants who knew their stuff talking about this in 2007,
Absolutely. And I've seen arguments out there, the disinformation arguments, and they're always hilarious, because they always leave out big, huge portions of the subject and like the evidence, and then they just try to, scuff off part of it. One of the arguments I heard was them saying, it was continually burning. But if you look at the rate that the building fell at, that doesn't look like steel beams slowly getting weak and, melting down. Like that looks like the beams were cut diagonally. This is what I've seen and heard is that they'd actually cut all the beams diagonally, and then they placed C4 charges on them, and that's how they do controlled demolitions. And I also heard that the same construction company that was responsible for going and picking up all the rubble and reusing all that metal, by the way, they reused and repurposed all that metal. The same company that was responsible for doing the cleanup was the one responsible for the controlled demolition, which makes sense. Yeah. And then you look at Building 7, obviously they knew it was going to fall. They didn't even say a plane hit it. They didn't even come up with an excuse for it. The building just fell and no one asks any questions about it, which blows my mind. And then you've got the Pentagon, the main office of the Pentagon, there was one office room in the Pentagon that lost like apparently like $2.3 trillion or something. $2.3 trillion went missing from the Pentagon right before this happened. And then the office where that took place ended up blowing up, and they say it was a plane that crashed into it. But if you actually look up plane crashes, if you look up images of plane crashes, there's wings, a fuselage, you know, there's the tail, like there's the whole plane is there. Mm-hmm. But there's no plane whatsoever to be recovered from 9/11 or from the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. You know, some people say, oh, well, it was lost in the rubble of the Twin Towers. Maybe so. Other people think it was Project Bluebeam. Have you ever heard of that?
I've heard of that. Yeah, definitely heard of that. I don't know the specifics of it, but another interesting story I'll tell you here is I was on in 2003. I was going to be a senior in high school, and I was invited to go on Presidential Classroom, which is a group tour of Washington D.C. among all these very intelligent high school seniors and that kind of stuff. And we actually visited the rebuilt part of the Pentagon that this plane supposedly crashed into. And so what they told us during that group tour was that the plane actually hit the ground before it actually hit the building. And if that were true, there would have been stuff everywhere. So the thing is, and then you add on top of that, that $6 trillion was missing, and that likely went to the deep state.
For secret space program, probably.
Yeah. So there were all kinds of reasons why they wanted that specific area of the Pentagon to be targeted.
Yes. And I've actually seen footage. It was black and white security camera footage, allegedly, and it has been removed off of YouTube since then. I've not been able to find it. The video is gone off of YouTube, which is a big red flag normally. You know, why would they take something off if it wasn't true, right? Yeah. So if it didn't threaten them somehow. So it was literally a video of like a Humvee type of vehicle rolling up, or like a military vehicle rolling up and pointing a missile straight at the Pentagon and then shooting it and blowing. I mean, it was like it looked real, like real footage of a straight up of a military vehicle rolling up and then launching a missile at the Pentagon. And again, that video has been removed. If it was fake, why would they remove it? You know, if it was just a fake video, why did it get removed? So that's the kind of stuff that I like to point out. If your videos are getting removed, then you gotta pay attention to what's getting censored now.
And when YouTube first started in 2006, 2007, I remember seeing videos, for instance, of firefighters having their CBs or whatever, their communications thing. And they were having a countdown over World Trade Center 7 as it was counting down, and they were telling people to get inside. And over the communications, the radio, they were counting down when it was going to fall. Now that video has been totally erased.
Wow, I believe it. I've also seen similar things with firefighters, like firefighters who went into 9/11, were actually in the buildings trying to rescue people. They said that, and they were. Apparently, some people who reported like noticing explosions on floors before the building collapsed completely, there were explosions going in. I've actually seen pictures and footage of this where it looks like there's actually explosions going on lower throughout the building. Right as soon as the plane hits, there's like multiple explosions that go on.
Now, why would they do that? Because they don't want the ones that all the cameras are going to be pointed to have actually a controlled demolition. So they have controlled demolitions of strategic points mm-hmm. in the building so that it collapses on its own. Those strategic points would, if you control demolition, the whole building, that's crazy. You wouldn't want to do that because every camera would be pointed on it. So you'd go for the strategic areas of the infrastructure.
I see. And I'm sure these guys, you know, they had to sneak. These guys have been there looking like some, looking like maintenance workers. You know, probably carried some ladders in. You know,
and I've also heard there's a type of liquid that they can put on these beams that that allow it to heat up beyond what normally would, you know. So
interesting. So let's talk about Bill Cooper's book, Behold the Pale Horse, really quick. So he talked about false flags in that book. As you know, Bill Cooper is no longer with us. After he wrote that book, he got in a lot of trouble. And there you go, big red flag. Why are they killing people if they're not telling the truth, right?
Right.
So this guy, in his book, he came out and he was saying, he came out and said that they use a combination for like mass shootings. That's another type of false flag here, is mass shootings. I think 9/11 it's a false flag, but it's kind of, it fits into a little bit of a different category, because I think they were really doing that not only to instill fear on us, not only to allow for war, but there was also a lot of money involved in the background, a lot of money laundering between different countries going on, like you were talking about. And obviously the owner of the World Trade Center took out a couple $1 trillion insurance claim just a couple weeks before it happened. So they knew it was going to happen. And then the price of oil, as you know, the people in power control the oil pharmaceutical companies. And the price of oil at the time was very, very low. It was somewhere like $3 to $6 a barrel or something. And after 9/11, that price jumped back up to $60 a barrel. And it just so happens that we were going to one of the most oil-rich countries in the place and then confiscating and seizing their oil, not only their oil, but also all their opium. Because guess what? They own the pharmaceutical companies too. They get a lot of cheap opium over there. So that's how they make their all their addictive painkillers.
So you want to see what's going on here is Saudi Arabia had an interest. Israel had an interest. Everybody across the globe had an interest in 9/11 because it would all make them more rich and more powerful. For instance, the whole Iraq and like I was saying earlier, the whole Iraq and Afghanistan invasion was to get other countries as well as those countries, so that their central banks would, so that they would have central banks. And you look at Syria and Libya and how they didn't have a central bank and now they're failed states. It all goes back to that, you know.
Exactly. And I mean, indeed, I think that what they do is, you know, if they refuse to accept their banking system, they probably do everything in their power to make sure that they fail, right?
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So, it's amazing that they've been, and we mentioned this a little bit earlier, that the fact that they've been playing this for thousands of years is really the impressive thing to me, is that, you know, these people have been really dedicating themselves to this for a very, very long time, maybe in hopes that they reincarnate during this time to assume their positions of power. Yeah. But it's just amazing what they've done for thousands of years to try and take control of this entire planet.
Yeah.
But what's great is that there's people like us out here talking about this, and I'm sure whoever's listening is probably got an open mind and they're waking up to this kind of stuff. It is up to us. Honestly, it's up to us to wake up and to refuse and to not authorize this to happen.
Right.
You know, that's really, if we don't authorize it, we're not going to have to fight against anything as much. If we authorize it, that's really the main problem.
Right.
So we just have to refuse anything. That we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves here, aren't we? No, at least I am a little bit. But
people are waking up now. People are waking up, and the thing is like what happened to me in 2008 with the Joint Chiefs and that kind of stuff was it opened up my eyes to what actually is going on. So I've been talking about this through my friends and that type of stuff since 2008. Of course, they did some things to me that caused me to believe that there was something wrong with me. So I've known about this for a long time, and I know what they can do to people, and it's horrible what they can do to people. But people are waking up now, and it's going to be a shock to the system like it was for me.
Absolutely. A lot of people may experience some cognitive dissonance whenever this first happens. A lot of people have really strong beliefs about, oh, the government wanting to protect us, or when the secret space program gets disclosed, a lot of religious people might have trouble with that. But I actually think that we're kind of evolving past that. I think that people are beginning to wake up, and it won't be as much of a shock as it would have been maybe 20, 30, 50 years ago. It would have been really, really rough.
Right.
And I think that they actually, you know, they tested us to see how we would react by coming out with movies like Independence Day to see how people would react to disclosure of extraterrestrials. And we had a horrible, horrible reaction. There was fear all across the country if that were to ever happen. And who knows, maybe they're actually planning on doing another. We're on the subject of false flags. This is a perfect opportunity to bring up the next false flag that I would predict happening would be a fake alien invasion. Yeah. Because now that they have disclosed the fact that extraterrestrials, that UFOs exist, and we're being visited by UFOs, that's putting it out there for them to control the narrative. Now they've got control of the narrative. People are believing them. And so if for example, we've got our own reverse engineered flying saucers already, which I think that we do, they could fly, you know, a few of them over a major city, blow up a big building or a stadium, you know, and thousands of people probably would die because that's how evil these guys are. And then they would end up blaming it against our visitors, the people from other planets who have didn't. I like to think about sometimes the fact that these aren't, you know, aliens or weird extraterrestrials. They're just people on other planets, just like ours, who people on like Nikola Tesla. If Nikola Tesla's work weren't suppressed on our planet, we would already be extraterrestrials ourselves. We'd already be traveling throughout the cosmos from, you know, galaxy to galaxy on our own with his technology. But that was suppressed by the Illuminati. And so I think that they have that technology. And then, of course, they want to keep it from us because if we had the ability to do these things on our own, they couldn't control us, right?
Well, your predictions are accurate because Carol Rosen, who worked for Warner Werner von Braun, and Werner von Braun pretty much laid out what the next 50, 70 years would be like. He talked about wars with dictators, all that kind of stuff to Carol Rosen. And he said, the last card is alien invasions.
That's right. I've heard that. Yeah.
And you want to know something else? You know, the aircraft that I worked on, the F-117, the stealth fighter, it was formerly a black budget project. And okay, so Ben Rich, the guy who founded Skunk Works, which created the F-117, he said, quote, the ability to go to the stars and all this, everything that you can imagine is wrapped up in black budget projects, and it would take an act of God to get them out. And then another tidbit I'll add on to that is that when the F-117 was at Area 51, which is called Tonopah Air Base, it was considered the least out of 17 projects, the least one to be that great, you know, like for them to,
wow,
you know,
least likely to succeed.
the least important is what I meant to say.
I see. Yeah, I get what you're saying. So, wow. So you were working on one that was the F-117, which was a black budget at the time, but it was still considered by the head guys, you know, leading these projects to be low rating on the level of importance and secrecy.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. So that's you know, so I've heard if you look up, I'm trying to remember his name. His name is Nick something. I can't remember, but he had a buddy who went to a show at an Air Force base. And at this show, people with a certain level of security clearance, and his buddy apparently, well, another one of his friends had the clearance and brought him back to this part of the show where they actually had a few ARVs, is what the Germans called them. Alien reproduction vehicles is what Hitler came up with the name for their bell craft, their anti-gravity bell-shaped craft. It was pretty funny because in World War II, apparently they were actually producing these. And what they were doing is because Hitler actually refused to make a peaceful alliance with the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Anschar beings that he had met, and ended up creating an alliance with the Draco and trying to do it his own way, basically. He did that later on, but during World War II, he was using anti-gravity technology, and then he was combining it with Newtonian physics because he was putting cannons, traditional cannons, on top of flying saucers. So these ETs must have had a good laugh from that. But apparently it caused a lot of problems because you have this anti-gravity propulsion and all of a sudden you're firing a cannon that's, you know, you're combining two different kinds of physics, and apparently it was not working out very well for them. But there are naval stories of people who were on Navy cruisers or, you know, these aircraft carriers, and there's stories of these circular craft appearing and then disappearing, appearing, blasting them a couple times and disappearing within the blink of an eye. So that definitely happened, I think. So,
Another thing is, after World War II, well, first of all, those Bell craft go back to the 1890s. There were societies in the 1890s that were researching this type of stuff, and then it evolved into the Vril Society and a bunch of other things. For instance, after World War II, they pretty much had this perfected to a degree. Because after World War II, all these Nazis were going across the world, getting out of Germany because they didn't want to face what was going to happen to them, which was basically nothing at all for most of them. But these German ships were caught all across the world, and they had tons of mercury in them. Well, according to certain people, the Bell craft used a combination of mercury and other things to
exactly.
To fly.
That's exactly what I've heard, yes.
Yeah. And then also Operation Paperclip brought all these Nazis to where I was, which is Holloman Air Force Base and White Sands Missile Range, including Wernher von Braun. And they still have a German Luftwaffe that is at Holloman Air Force Base to this day, back when I was there.
Wow.
Because it's considered sort of like a NATO base. But they're stationed on the base themselves. There's about 600 of them. So.
Wow. And for anyone who doesn't know about Project Paperclip, this was after World War II. There were over 1,600 Nazi scientists who were working for Hitler in military as, weapons developers and that kind of thing, who were being charged as war criminals in Nazi Germany after World War II. We gave them an ultimatum. Our government gave them an ultimatum that either they would go to jail as war criminals and essentially receive like the death penalty in prison, or they could come and work for our space program. So which one of those are you going to choose, right?
It wasn't just the Americans, the Russians, all kinds of different countries that were involved in defeating the Nazis wanted all this information. So
absolutely.
It wasn't just the Americans, the Nazis, every Russians, everybody was wanting a Nazi scientist because they knew they had so much information.
Absolutely. And we saw them as being like geniuses. And then it wasn't long after that, Wernher von Braun ended up actually taking the head chair at NASA. He was the head guy for a while.
And
amazing.
All these military industrial complexes run by former Nazis and the offsprings of Nazis, so your military industrial complex is the way it is because of German influence.
Exactly. And you've got we also recruited them to work for, like we were talking about earlier, for like MK Ultra.
Yeah.
These guys had all, they were already really used to brainwashing and using, actually, they specifically were good at torturing people to brainwash them. If I remember correctly, the Germans were specifically good at knowing how to torture someone in order to completely control them, completely mind control them.
Right.
After traumatizing them so much, mm-hmm. it weakens the mental state, and then they can just take control over it.
And you think about the methods they used back then and how the methods have evolved since then.
Exactly. They've been learning more and more about how we work and how to control us.
Right. So, for instance, the thing with the shooters where their computers are taken away.
Let's talk about that again because we didn't get that in this podcast.
Yeah. So the thing with these false flag shooters is their computers, for instance, the Las Vegas shooter, the Penn State shooter years and years ago, for the majority of them, their computers are not part of the investigation or are completely lost.
Right.
So my theory is, based on what they did to me prior to joining the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is that they're able to hypnotize people through the computer and that kind of stuff to do the bidding of whatever they want them to do.
Exactly. And just like I want to bring it up again because I don't think we got it in this podcast, but Bill Cooper's book, Behold a Pale Horse, they had a section about this where they talk about mass shootings, but they literally said that they find – and Bill Cooper, by the way, has been killed since then. He's no longer with us. They killed him because he was telling the truth. He said that they use a combination of hypnotic suggestions. Well, first they target people who already have mental health issues. Then they use a combination of pharmaceuticals and hypnotic suggestions to implant a trigger in the person. So where when this kid, you know, ends up going into the going to school and he hears, you know, someone say something or hears their teacher say something, then they would it would cause this trigger that the kid would just start, you know, going crazy and shooting everyone. And apparently they do this, you know, you could say maybe the there's been several mass shootings that we could talk about. And I think what you said is very, very compelling and interesting. The fact that their computers have gone missing, because how are they doing these hypnotic suggestions? Well, it's really easy for these guys to hack into your computer and then start sending you a bunch of videos. So imagine if you're a, you know, you're a kid who's been dealing with mental issues, you're getting prescribed this medicine, maybe from your doctor or something like that, right? You're getting prescribed this mental health medicine. And then all of a sudden you start, you know, your videos and stuff start popping up on your computer and you start watching them carelessly. And the next thing you know, you've got a subconscious implant, you know.
And the thing now, everything's evolved since what happened to me in 2008. And what I'd say now is that they're probably so advanced that they can suggest certain things to get them to watch these videos or do whatever. Because if you look at what happens to our, for instance, our phones, you know, these corporate entities, they are able to pretty much predict what you're going to buy before you buy it. And they run ads on your Facebook, on everything. And they have predictions of what you're going to buy and they want you to buy certain products, you know? So the fact that these corporate entities know that you know your behaviors so well that they know when you're going to buy something. For instance, there's a story of Walmart or somebody sending literature about babies and that kind of stuff to buy baby products at Walmart through the mail to this one girl, and her father got that, and her father confronted her about being pregnant, and so the computer, the AI in these computer systems knew that she was pregnant before her father did, you know? So,
Wow. See, and they, it's so intelligent. You know, they can track this stuff. I shared a meme the other day. It was to be funny, but it was like, it said, whenever you're talking about something that you want to buy or something, and then it showed like all the different apps on your phone, like listening in.
Right.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Every time I've like, dude, just the other day, I maybe made a Google search or I was talking to my mom about getting hair loss treatment because I'm like thinning out up here. And all of a sudden, like now I get nothing but hair loss ads on my phone. I get nothing but hair loss crap. I'm just like, right. What the hell is this? Is this meant to be or something? Like, wait a second. No, they're fucking listening to me. Language there. They're listening, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And so another thing I'll add is that I think I sent it to you, but for the iPhone. There's an update that clearly states on the update that they're going to be doing COVID-19 tracing stuff, and that's the reason they have to update your phone. I've verified this with my friend in Texas, and she got the same update. So the fact is that your phone is a eavesdropping and control mechanism for them to do medical surveillance of you. And
wow.
It's not just a theory anymore. Like, you remember before all this happened, I was going and I was buying a Faraday bag, which is where it cuts off all connection when you're outside, so that I can put my phone in it and go about my business and not have to have them tracing me and contacting me saying I've got COVID or whatever. I've told people how to go about using certain methods to combat against what's going to happen. So, mm-hmm. The fact is that now it's happening and people are just, I don't know what they're doing, but they're not doing the right things, you know?
So then to finish this off, since our main subject is false flags, and it's a perfect time because you're talking about the coronavirus, do you think the coronavirus is a big plandemic, a big false flag to scare the people into allowing this new world order to take place?
Oh, it definitely is. I mean, you look at all the intelligence operations going on, for instance, Carbine, which was is connected to the Epstein friends. Carbine is an Israeli company that is now doing video conferencing for 9/11 or 911 operators so that they can get in contact with people. Peter Thiel, his Palantir program, is making tons of money off of this COVID-19. Bill Gates, you know, he has Earth Now, which can send video, real-time video of anywhere in the world. What they're creating for us is a dystopian reality where every moment of our lives is tracked. And the ones who profited from this COVID-19 have been the billionaires in the world today. So the latest article I read on this was that $402 billion has been added to the wealth of these billionaires. So
Jeff Bezos, owner of Amazon, he's the first trillionaire now.
Yeah. So the thing is that you don't want to think that people are this evil, but in all likelihood, there are people that are that evil to increase their wealth, increase their power. I mean, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely, or whatever that saying is. So the fact is that these people have increased their power and their wealth, and we have a vacuum in the United States, a vacuum of leadership. So our leaders are now basically the 1% of the world. And our
politicians and people in political power, you know, we've got Bill Gates making all the decisions for us as far as health standards go. What the hell is going on? This guy's not a doctor. He is openly, if you do any research on what him and Melinda Gates did in Africa, it is well known that they actually were killing thousands of people with their vaccines in Africa. It's also, I mean, he's openly admitted on a conference in front of thousands of people. I've shared this with my friends and they watch it and I tell them, skip to 4 minutes and 40 seconds and listen to what he says. Mm-hmm. And they do it and they're like, I missed it. I'm like, dude, you literally must be trying not to see this. Because he literally says, we've got to reduce the population by using healthcare services, birth control, and vaccines. So what he literally is saying that we're going to use vaccines and birth control, healthcare reproductive services, is what I meant to say, to sterilize. That's one of the big things that they did in Africa, was sterilizing the women. Is just and the men to sterilize us and to ultimately kill us off. And the vaccine, if you look up Bill Gates' new vaccine, it contains quantum dots, which are little nanotechnologies that are supposed to be able to give you feedback, or they're able to monitor you. And this is being injected into your bloodstream. Mm-hmm. Nanobites being injected into your bloodstream. And then you've got the other thing. The last thing I'll say on this is that you've got, if you go to the World International Patent Office and search 060606, you find Bill Gates' microchip, which has been talked about for years since Obama's healthcare reform bill. The mandatory microchipping was allegedly 18 terabytes split up into three sections, 666. I heard about that years then, like back 2013 or 14. And now Bill Gates comes out with his patent for the microchip. And it could have been any other number in the world, but it just so happened to be 060606. And that's the first one that pops up if you search that. And there's arguments people make, oh, you have to ignore 11 other characters. No, you don't. And they'll say, oh, there are other patents with the number 060606 in them. Okay, well, that may be true. But the first one that comes up is the microchip. And it's way too ironic. It's way too big of a coincidence for that just to be based on chance. That's impossible.
Yeah. And you go back, okay, so Marina Abramik, I think I said this on the other podcast, but you look up his connection to Marina Abramik, her connection to the Rothschilds, and then you look up Event 201 and ID 2020, which ID 2020 is the digital ID thing.
Yep.
Now, who sponsored ID 2020? It was both the Melinda Gates Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation. So like I said in another podcast, was because we've done this three times and they've cut it off.
Right.
But like I said in the other one, is that all these people are interconnected. All these elites are interconnected. So Marina Abramik connects Bill Gates to the Rothschilds, and then ID 2020, which is the digital ID, it connects Bill Gates to the Rockefellers. You go back to Aaron Russo. if you look up Aaron Russo on YouTube, he talks about what the Rockefellers want to do. And this is exactly the plan he was talking about in 2006, 2008. I don't remember when it was.
Yeah, no, this is, I've personally known that something like this was going to happen for a very long time. I've been trying to warn my friends. I have literally for the past 4 years been telling my friends some kind of big epidemic is going to happen, whether it's going to be whether it's going to be something like this, a virus. We didn't know if it was going to be a natural disaster or if it was going to be more, they were going to, World War III or something big was going to happen that we knew that they were going there. They were going to try and put the country into a state of emergency so they can kill a bunch of people off and then force a bunch of people into FEMA camps and then ultimately microchip and then completely dominate us. And all this is happening now. It's all happening.
And another thing is all these billionaires and elites, for instance, Bill Gates talked at the World Economic Forum and he talked about how this was going to happen. And even before then, for instance, Amazon's Jeff Bezos invested 20% of his wealth in 2019 into healthcare. So they know the plan. They know the plan. They're following the plan. It's not as big a deal as you think it is. As most people think it is.
It's really just step by step kind of thing.
It's really just a matter of fact plan that goes unspoken among them on television or whatever. But it's kind of like they play this role, and they're
just actors.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And making all those connections with Bill Gates and to the Rothschilds and Rockefellers, and then looking at the other things that those organizations have done.
Yeah.
And then look at the fact that, like, the video you shared me the other day called The Plandemic, which was exposing a lot of this stuff that we're talking about, that got removed off of YouTube. You can't find it anymore. Yeah. So, again, why are they killing people? Why are they removing videos if they aren't telling the truth? What's the point? Well, if they were just lies, then what's the point of taking them off YouTube? There's tons of lies, tons of disinformation on YouTube.
Yeah.
Tons of crazy, disgusting stuff on YouTube you could go watch. But, oh, they're going to remove this stuff that threatens their agenda that's telling the truth. So
it's like Jenny, what's her name? The former porn actress, Jennifer something or another.
Jenna Jameson.
Yeah. Jenna Jameson said, on her Twitter, basically that, they're so good. They're so good at removing, information that is truthful, such as Plandemic and that kind of stuff. But for some reason, they have a hard time removing child porn from these websites,
Exactly. Exactly. That's a big boom. That's a big one, dude. Like, that is huge. Like,
yeah.
And that just goes to show you. That just goes to show you right there.
Right, right.
Really is true, man. Well, dude, I think we've done pretty good at covering the subject. Do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to put out there?
I think we discussed everything we can discuss in this.
Yeah, we might want to end the podcast before they cut us off and we have to run over, right?
It only took three times.
And we got it done in 38 minutes, so that's pretty good. Yeah. It's not bad. All right.